Thank you very much for staying to the very last session. I know it was a long session. For those of you who were not here in the morning, my name is Samira Daroub. I'm a professor in soil chemistry, and I do a lot of environmental quality work, and I'm really happy to be part of this community also. So Allison Eagle will talk about nutrient management on the far side of complexity. I like that.
Thank you, Samira, and thanks everyone for being here this afternoon. So when it comes down to our wonderful science that we're all involved in, how do we actually make some of that actionable? And that's what we're trying to work through at EDF, and my role there being both a translator and a bridge builder with no background in either linguistics or civil engineering. So take that as you may. So nutrient management, as we know, we've got a lot of things coming out in the press, and the Gulf of Mexico dead zone being the largest this past year than it was any other time. And then the following headlines were farmers are doing it all wrong, agriculture has to clean up their act, and on and on. So we know that there's a significant group in the public that are really wondering what agriculture is going to do about this. And including that, we have people saying, but we've been giving all this money to conservation, and after many years of all this money going into conservation and setting all kinds of goals and measuring things, we have little result to show. And so then you may have the person concerned about the environment talking to the farmer, and they're just going to say to the farmer, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm improving my nutrient management. Prove it. Which is what we're trying to work on. Currently, our progress tracking options are keeping track of how many acres we have in cover crops or in no-till or in some other kind of improved management practice, but we can't quantify the actual environmental outcome that comes from those practices very well. So this is a challenge. The other option is to instrument every single watershed or every little tile drain and try to measure everything that's coming off of them. And I mean, instrumenting a watershed, as we heard from the last talk, when you have your improved management practice applied to only a portion of the watershed, the results may not actually show up in any of the monitoring data. And then we have our models that we've tried to calibrate and validate, and we heard that even a couple talks ago about how a model was having a hard time reflecting reality. And we also, the other requirement for these models is you need to be highly trained in order to be able to use them. You need many, many inputs, and then maybe they don't reflect reality. So we need to know whether they actually can quantify our environmental outcomes, and then have some way of connecting the practices that we're doing to those outcomes. And how can we take what we do on one field or on one farm and scale it up so that we can say, this is what's happening at this watershed, this is what's happening in this township, this is what's happening in this region, in this state. So we need to scale it up to show what's happening over the larger area. And how does it fit into the existing management structure? How does it work for the CCAs who are currently working with those farmers? How do we use the tools that the farmers are already using and integrate something into what they're using so that they don't have yet one more thing to deal with, that they have to have another app on their phone or another computer program and hire another person to actually have to deal with it and interpret the whole thing for them? This is where we have been working with a group of people. We are hearing this from other scientists as well, that keeping track that the field nitrogen balance may be an option, an opportunity to actually meet these requirements in a very simple calculation that has a lot of complexity behind it, because we know that nitrogen, it has all kinds of stuff going on. But if we just take the inputs, what we put onto the farm, and subtract the outputs, what came off in the grain as nitrogen, the resulting calculation is what is the nitrogen balance. We can then use this to fit into the existing management structure. It's not a lot of data that have to be collected. We can calculate this on a field. We can calculate this from a whole group of fields that are all managed in the same way. And you can even do, you can take this field and bring it up to the farm level. And people have seen how that can fit into an existing management structure with somewhat more ease than getting somebody to learn how to use a model or putting in monitoring stations that make people concerned about who's going to see all of that information. It can be scaled up to show progress. You can take one field, 10 fields, 1,000 hectares, 1,000 acres, and really start to bring that up so that somebody who is, for example, supporting a specific CCA can then say, this group of crop advisors, I've been working with them and helping them, they have achieved this kind of a result over a period of time. It can connect outcomes to practice and quantify environmental outcomes. And these last two, I moved from the bottom to the top. These top two are the ones that I'm going to now talk about in terms of our current research in synthesis of data. So a number of years ago, I started doing some systematic review and synthesis with a focus on corn system studies in North America and looking at the nitrogen losses coming from these research trials and how they were affected by different types of management and also by soil characteristics and climate, and then the data, and then also these data were measuring both nitrate losses and the yield results of those crops. Also have nitrous oxide, but right at this point we're focusing on nitrate. So an example from a recent publication that's just come out in Soil Science Society Journal, with this work, we started off, this is how a systematic review starts. You start with lots of stuff when you enter all of your search terms in Web of Science. We ended up with well over 4,000 studies, looked at just the titles, got rid of a bunch that didn't even have anything to do with agriculture, narrowed those down to ones that we felt we could then look at the reviews of at the abstracts. So we looked at abstracts of the 237 studies. From those, we narrowed those down to be able to figure out which papers would possibly have data. So after looking at the 237 studies, we found 48 of those that actually contained data on nitrogen losses and crop yield. And those data were then put into a big database where we kept track of all of the results from the studies, the treatments, and then many of the other variables that would affect these. So, following on that, that database has now been expanded beyond just fertilizer management studies, which was what the initial work was, and now we expanded it to any kind of fertilizer-based corn cropping system that measured nitrate leaching in some way. And so that included studies that looked at tillage and measured nitrate leaching, or studies that looked at other things. And this is then, from that database, this is the relationship of nitrogen balance, which is that equation I told you before, that basically these are all corn in a corn following soy, corn following corn, so there's a mixture of cropping systems, a little bit there of at least certain things, and then there no manure, no alfalfa, so we're trying to narrow it down to a system that looks fairly consistent, and we have the fertilizer application minus whatever the grain took off in nitrogen, that's the nitrogen balance, and then we have the nitrate losses that are yield scaled so that we make sure that we are consistent with the sustainable intensification goals of reducing our environmental impact, but also maintaining or improving our crop productivity. So this is the set of data that were in a silt loam and closely related soils, and this is just one just how nitrogen balance and nitrate losses relate to each other. So what explains all the variability? Why do we have all these dots all over the place? And this is where I'm bringing in the multi-level hierarchical regression model, which is multi-level and multi-factor regression models, which can then help us to assess the response to the management treatments and to many other explanatory factors. We can use unbalanced data from all different studies, so we can have studies from Nashua and Iowa, of which we have many, many observations, and studies from another place in Michigan or Minnesota or something, where we may have only a few observations, and Nashua, and the whole thing doesn't end up having to look like Iowa. So it allows you to then group the observations by location, or you can use other grouping categories, and then the model, it weights the observations so that if you have a larger number of observations in the group, that each observation counts for us, is weighted down so that it doesn't overwhelm the whole thing, and also adjusts for variability. So I was using Stata, the mixed model in Stata, for this. And just because we all love Greek letters, it looks like your typical regression model, and the only thing is that the error term on the end is then separated into two different parts, where you have the error that is explained within each group, and then the error that is between groups. So in these model results, running these first models based on this smaller group of data that I'm really hoping to expand because it's very messy, we do find that there's a significant impact of soil texture, of precipitation and crop rotation, and also soil carbon content. And by using this multi-level model, we can explain some of the remaining variability just through the fact that they're grouping them into locations. So there's something similar within each location that is unexplained in the other variables that we're putting in, but by being able to group them into location, we can draw down some of the variability. So this is just schematic because there's still a lot of stuff going on in these models, but these are, I'm going to show you three of the factors that were significant so you can kind of see how they turn out. And if we have that initial response curve that I showed you of nitrogen balance and nitrate losses, you can see that you could split that into two groups by soil type. So we have then the response of the heavier soils being the blue line, and the loam and silt loam soils being the red line. So we see that we have, which makes sense, higher nitrate losses for a given nitrogen balance in these loam and silt loam soils as compared to something that has a lot more clay. So that kind of fits with what we would expect to see. And this is all corrected for all these other factors. We also see an impact of precipitation, and as you can see, they end up being, this is the 75th and 25th percentile of where the precipitation is at in this set of data, and we can see significantly higher nitrate losses for a given nitrogen balance when we have a higher level of precipitation. And previous crop, we know that corn, this is a management thing, right? We know that corn on corn will have higher losses for a given nitrogen balance as well. So these are things that are showing up to be significant as we start to model some of these data. But as I said, they're really the data come from, they span a period of about 20 years. They're from lots of different locations. Sometimes we might only have two observations for a given site year. And so it's hard to see what's happening when you're actually doing management that affects nitrogen balance. And this is where we're doing some continuing work to try to find some new data to build these relationships out better. Been working with some other scientists to get access to some data that are not currently published. The corn cap data, looks like we're going to have some of the nitrogen loss data from that project that are now being put into the National Ag Library as a data publication. And I'm involved in a new drainage site research project across 8 different sites in the Corn Belt, where we're starting to be able to get data from nitrate losses as well as other losses of nitrogen, and in some cases phosphorus as well. So we're starting to think about what happens with more than one type of loss as well. So another thing that we're working on is trying to improve estimates of corn grain nitrogen, because we don't always measure it. It would be great if everybody would measure it, but that doesn't always happen. And investigate some of the drivers of nitrogen balance. So if nitrate is affected by nitrogen balance, how can we then bring nitrogen balance down in cases where we have a high risk of nitrate losses? And doing this both at research sites and on farm. So I would like to acknowledge the Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy Solutions at Duke University, where I was did the beginnings of this work and now moved into the EDF program, continuing it, and also the 4R Research Fund, which has provided a lot of support and a lot of connections. And many of the people in this room have been introduced to our team through that. So thank you very much.
The balance has the crop with the grain yield in it, and your y-axis variable you normalized by grain. And I understand why you did that, but it does worry me a little bit. Both x and y have grain in it.
Yes.
So you get some autocorrelation or cover up some correlation because of that.
Yeah, so the question is about having grain yield in both the X and the Y axis. I have some concerns about that as well, and we've discussed it as a team and have decided that at this stage we were leaving it this way. I have done these same models with a non-yield scaled nitrate loss, and they don't look very different. And so then that makes me feel that doing the yield scaled does work in terms of being able to show that we're trying to achieve reduced losses while maintaining or improving yield. But yeah, it's something that we have to try to figure out is as we move forward how to add that or take it out.
Okay.